geoengineering is a thing of the future. But for us here in the Bay Area, a form of geoengineering has been proposed that could cause major changes for the largest Pacific Coast estuary, the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta.
Encompassing a total area of around 1,100 square miles and containing around 700 miles of waterways, the Delta region is a gem of California wildlife. Governor Jerry Brown has put forth a project that, if implemented, may divert even more water south. Similar to the peripheral canal idea that was rejected by voters in 1982, the Bay Delta Conservation Plan, as it's cleverly called, would be headlined by two enormous tunnels dug under the northern Delta waterways to divert water to pumping stations, eventually heading south to fulfill bloated promises from overestimated Delta resources.
Our own Freewheelin' Franklin spoke to Robert Pike, a geotechnical engineer, about this project.
Good evening, Freewheelin' Franklin here once again on Full Circle, talking about the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta, and in particular Jerry Brown's planned tunnels to divert even more water south to Central Valley farmers and to Southern California for urban populations. Joining me to discuss this is Dr. Robert Pike, Ph.D. in Geotechnical and Earthquake Engineering from the University of California right here in Berkeley, and he has practiced in this field for 40 years. Welcome, Dr. Pike.
It's good to be here.
Can you please give our listeners a brief history about our levees and our levee system?
The first levees were built around 1850, 150 years ago, after the discovery of gold. The unsuccessful miners turned to agriculture and started diking off part of the land that was then encouraged by the state and federal governments. Those early levees have mostly been rebuilt so that the levees themselves are not 150 years old. In fact, they're constantly being worked on. In the 1980s, they were in not such good condition, but a lot of work has been put into them since then, so you could say that many of the levees are less than 30 years old, but the whole history goes back 150 years.
Now, although the landscape has been so altered, it most likely will never return in the Delta area, but you say the ecosystem somewhat remained the same even after the original alterations.
Well, for better or worse, the landscape was altered starting 150 to 100 years ago, but I should note that for many years the ecosystem still worked pretty much like the original ecosystem. The salmon runs were diminished, but there were still a million salmon going up and down the Sacramento each year. It's only around the turn of the last century that things went into decline, and for multiple reasons, but largely as a result of too much water being extracted, the Delta has been converted from an estuary with salt water pushing in and out with the tides to a weedy lake, a more quiet environment in which imported species flourish over native species.
Now explain to our listeners the size of this project. How big are these tunnels, and what's the capacity of water they can carry?
The tunnels would be about 35 miles long. Each tunnel would be 40 feet diameter. The overall capacity of the project has nominally been reduced from 15,000 cubic feet per second to 9,000 cubic feet per second by cutting the number of intakes on the Sacramento River from 5 to 3. But the opponents of the plan concerned that the tunnels are big enough that you could still build extra intakes and take 15,000 cubic feet per second. And that would literally suck the Sacramento River dry if the pumps were turned on at the wrong period of time. There are all kinds of operating rules, bypass flow requirements that are the subject of lots of haggling at present that are supposed to limit the amount that could be taken. But the opponents are concerned that if physically you could take the water in an extreme drought, maybe political pressure would be brought to bear and the water would be taken regardless of its effect on the Delta.
Supporters for the tunnels say the tunnels will ensure a water supply going south in case of catastrophic levee failure due to earthquakes or severe weather. Are our levees in danger from weather or earthquakes?
The really short answer is no. The claim that levees will suffer massive failures in an earthquake is a very big part of the sales pitch that water exporters use, but it's simply not true. I could speak for hours on that point, but the levees are in not such bad shape, although they could be further improved to make them more robust under extreme weather conditions, including flood and earthquake. But earthquake is not a big risk. The earthquake risk are so much higher where we're sitting in Berkeley than they are out in the Delta, which is some distance from the nearest major fault.
Right now we have the near extinction of the Delta smelt, unsustainable salmon runs, and we can attribute some of this poor health of the Delta to factory pollution, farm runoff, as well as excessive water diversion. What would be the result of increased water exports?
Well, overall, what happens is that the situation inevitably gets worse. The exports at present from the South Delta have altered the natural flow regime so that it's unnatural. And moving the intakes to the North Delta makes it even more unnatural. One of the really odd things is that the claim of the proponents is that this is a conservation measure, that moving the intakes will actually improve the overall ecology and the life prospects of certain listed species in particular. But they're having a hard time proving that on paper because it just doesn't make sense. Basically, two big motivations. One is that Metropolitan Water District wants to grab the fresher water before it gets into the Delta.
Is that for less processing or when they get it on their end?
Oh, it makes a big difference at their end. They want the better quality water so that refineries like Chevron and El Segundo can recycle their water more times, but at the expense of Contra Costa Water District getting poorer quality water. And to use the refinery example, the refineries that depend on Contra Costa Water District would no longer be able to recycle their water to the same extent.
Now speak specifically about where I come from, Antioch and Contra Costa County.
The city of Antioch has water rights that have allowed them to extract water from the Sacramento River for over a century. At present, whenever the state water project extracts too much water and water quality goes down at Antioch, the city of Antioch has to buy water from the Contra Costa Water District. But they're reimbursed for that by the state water project. That was one of the conditions of approval of the state water project. That situation would just be aggravated. It wouldn't necessarily cost the city of Antioch anything if the state makes good on their promise to reimburse Antioch for buying fresh water, but the big problem is that Contra Costa Water District would have less fresh water, and so Antioch might be left on the short end.
A lot of people will say that we need these tunnels to get water south to the central and southern California where they're farming or they're using it for drinking water. What are some of the alternatives to building these tunnels, which could harm the very fragile ecosystem in the Delta? What can we do to maybe lessen the need for water down there? And if we can't do that, what can we do besides these tunnels?
There are two or three alternatives that the official program simply hasn't studied. They've studied a variation of one, which is to simply restrict exports, but they haven't studied that seriously. So there is an environmental community that would like to reduce exports from their current level, which is something like 5 or 6 million acre feet per year. That's the total volume, down to no more than about 3 million acre feet a year. That's a big cut. But their claim is that the urban water districts could do a lot more with conservation and recycling, and in fact free up some water for agricultural districts. It's a bit of a stretch. Those folks are well-meaning, but it's hard to see overall political agreement on that. I have a better alternative, which is to move the intakes not to the North Delta but to the West Delta, which restores a more natural flow pattern through the Delta. And if you take out the water, say, around Sherman Island, you can't over-extract. It's a self-regulating system because if you take out too much water when river flows are low, you'll be sucking in salt water, not just into the Delta, but sucking salt water into your own pumps. The fact that the system is self-regulating in a physical way and it doesn't rely on complicated agreements and lawsuits and settlements. There's also a further alternative called Delta Corridors that the Bay Delta Conservation Plan, which is the official name for what popularly is called Jerry Brown's Twin Tunnels, has looked at. They've looked at a modified version of this concept developed by a guy called Russ Brown called Delta Corridors. If you read their 20, 30,000 pages of documents very carefully, you see that that alternative actually came out top of the heap, but they ruled it out on a technicality. So the official program tries to make a complicated issue even more complicated by generating these enormous documents, which are mostly bafflegab, and it's very hard for the ordinary person to discern the truth.
Now, there's a lot of opponents to these tunnels. Is there a way that these tunnels will be stopped, or is this project going ahead no matter what?
The opponents have a number of strategies, but I think they're in a pretty good position because the plan basically doesn't make sense from the engineering and economic points of view. And while it's true that there have been big projects built in various places around the world that didn't make engineering or economic sense, it's getting harder and harder to do that. So I think the Twin Tunnels are going to fall under their own weight. If it doesn't make engineering and economic sense, it's doomed to failure sooner or later.
What would you like to say to the listeners about this project in particular?
Just that it's a double legacy project. A legacy project is an old one that's past its time. It doesn't make sense anymore. This is the current version of the peripheral canal that's been around since 1965. And Jerry Brown, the governor who in his first term was espousing small is beautiful, now wants to build it for his legacy. The people who live in this beautiful area in the North Delta, in some cases are fifth or sixth generation farmers. What they're saying is, what about our legacy?
We can go on and on. Dr. Pike, thanks for driving out during the midst of the BART strike. I wish you safe travel back, and thanks for joining us tonight on Full Circle.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks, Franklin, for bringing us up to date on the proposed Twin Tunnels. For more information on the fight for alternatives to the tunnels, visit the Restore the Delta website at www.restorethedelta.org.
And that brings us to the end of tonight's show. We've been your hosts,
Layla
and Anne-Marie.
Be sure to tune in next week to hear Tanya and Beatriz host a Latin music show that will be exploring reggaeton y más. No te olvides de escuchar de 7 a 8 p.m. próxima viernes en KPFA.
If you have any questions or topics for future shows, including the aforementioned so-called conspiracy theories, give us a call at 510-848-6767, extension 627, or send an email to fullcircle@kpfa.org. Thanks, Audie G, holding down the controls. Stay tuned for La Onda Bajita.
Artist Contemporary Cultural Experience is back and presenting a brand new play, Azel Williams, In a Daughter's Eyes, and a benefit for BRAVA for Women in the Arts. In a Daughter's Eyes stars Bay Area actors Brittany Frazier and Lisa Porter with direction by the award-winning Idris Cooper Anif Owoshe, winner of the 2011 Smith Prize from the National New Play Network. In a Daughter's Eyes places the daughter of a slain white Oakland police officer in direct confrontation with the daughter of the Black Panther accused of his murder. In a Daughter's Eyes plays Thursday to Sunday, June 29th to July 14th, with previews June 27th and 28. Visit www.brava.org or call 415-641-7657 for tickets and information.